Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hemmer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Planned Parenthood said that they want to help the communities, especially the black community, even though their founder, Margaret Sanger, said, and I'm paraphrasing them just a little bit, colored people are like weeds, they need to be exterminated.
When we hold to the good, godly distinctions between men and women in Scripture, it should be no surprise to us that in the same way that preaching the Word of God clearly makes us isolated from all the rest of the world.
The one who forgave you all your sins with his blood, he is not abandoning you to the grave. No, he's not going to forget you. He's made you his own.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, love, issues, etc.
This is not the only time that Peter says something like this as he is preaching early in the book of Acts. It is the first time he says something like this. There in verse 23 of Acts chapter 2, he is describing who Jesus of Nazareth is. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. He accuses his audience there in Acts chapter 2, that famous Pentecost audience. Some of them are people who were from out of town. They were from all over the world, in fact. He says that they crucified and killed Jesus. What does he mean by that? What is he trying to tell them and us as he preaches over their shoulder, continuing to preach to us today? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter preaching on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Dr. David Adams. There's been a discovery of a possible depiction, just a tiny statue head that has been found, of the Old Testament King Ahab. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? Well, maybe they found an archaeological link to both of them. Dr. Joel Olowski will be our guest. The church is remembering on this day the Council of Nicaea that began in 325 AD, a long time ago, but already they are talking about Jesus in a way that Christians now commonly refer to him being of one substance with the Father. And then Wesley Smith will be our guest. We're going to be talking with him about two issues, the recent spate of celebrity suicides and a possible change to the American Medical Association's Code of Medical Ethics. We're going to talk about all of that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Peter preaching on Pentecost, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Just as a sermon, how would you evaluate Peter's Pentecost sermon in terms of law and gospel?
Every sermon needs to be evaluated in terms of law and gospel. And we're not talking about the law in the sense of the content of law, but the purpose of God's law. And the primary purpose, there's three uses God makes of the law. The primary one for sermons is called the second use of the law, and it's accusation. It shows that we have needs we cannot meet. Primarily, one need is a lot of people think, look at every religion in the world, and they come up with the idea that I have the need of doing good work so God will reward me with heaven. Well, it isn't long before you realize you cannot meet that need. We sin and we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. The gospel is the antidote to the law. The law is the diagnosis. Here's what you are doing, and you are falling short of the requirements God says are necessary to enter into heaven. The gospel is the treatment that God gives you so those requirements are met, not by you, but by Jesus Christ and transferred over to you. So when we look at Peter's sermon, particularly in verses 22 and further, here's what he says. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Now there's the law that they were all supposedly waiting for Jesus to come. And when he did come as the Messiah, guess what? They crucified him. Now, the people are very afraid. And they say, what can we possibly do? And verses 37 and following, here comes the gospel. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and they will receive two gifts, the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise, he says, is not just to you and your children, and that can be translated as offspring. So this is where we get infant baptism. But for all who are far off. That's a technical way of speaking of Gentiles. So it's very clear. We killed the Christ because our sins put him on the cross. He came willingly to pay the price for us. And therefore the law is that every time we sin, we're really putting Jesus back on that cross. The gospel is that for some reason known only to God, he has decided to be merciful to the entire world, creates faith in the hearts of people so that trusting the promises of the gospel, they are therefore saved, and God recognizes them as having the righteousness of Christ, which means they are welcome to go to heaven.
Focus, if you would, for a moment on that, the promises for you and for your children. What do the Sunday school children need to know about what the apostle is saying about them there?
I would use analogies that they would be familiar with. And a lot of times you could ask the question, is there ever a time that it appears that your parents don't love you? And most children that I've asked at a certain age will say, yes, they punish me. And then we would get into a discussion about how that punishment isn't the opposite of love, but it could be what love really is, wanting to protect you as their child from further hurt. Once they understand that, then you would say, this is how God deals with you. You do sin against God. Sometimes you have arguments with your brothers and sisters. Sometimes you don't like somebody. Sometimes you may steal something. And then when you realize that you've done these things and you are sorry for them, God forgives your sins and he's just like your parents. He continues to love you. And you may end up going to a restaurant you like, or they'll take you to a ball game. Why? Because they love you and are merciful. And I would explain to them the word mercy means you don't really get what you should expect, because God is someone who wants to love you, bring you into his family, and he does that by baptism. At our Sunday school, where I was a pastor for over almost three decades, we had in the Sunday school opening not only a celebration of their birthdays, but a celebration of their rebirthday. And that was a bigger gift, which means if the student's baptism date appeared that week, they would get a gift from the teacher as a reminder that, yes, their birthday brought them into their earthly family, but their baptism brought them into the heavenly family of God himself, who sometimes he may discipline them out of love, but he always forgives, never forsakes them, and is always with them.
In terms of Peter's words there in Acts chapter 2, as he's preaching to the people of Jerusalem, I think in the section there of where we would say he's preaching the law to them, he does put Jesus' death in, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of the fact that, well, they crucified him. And he does this elsewhere in other sermons in the book of Acts. He will tell them, this Jesus whom you crucified. Why does he put it in those terms?
He does that, and I'm going to bring in two other passages that I think are really important. They still are wondering why the crucifixion took place. If this is God, he's the Messiah, he was supposed to restore Israel. The one passage I'm reminded of is Jesus and his Bible study with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. What he did, he went through the Old Testament and showed why his crucifixion was necessary. The other passage that I have in mind, and I like using this as an example of whatever pastor should be doing on Sunday morning, it comes just a few chapters after this. It's in chapter 18, where a man named Apollos, a native of Alexander, comes to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, but he knew only the baptism of John. Now, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And the very last verse in that chapter 18, that he then, after hearing the message more accurately, he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Now, that was the purpose and is the purpose of every sermon and every Bible study, to make the scriptures understood more accurately. So the questions that are on people's minds, well, why did this happen? And so when Peter says, as you asked, and he says it very clearly, that you crucified and killed him, namely Jesus. That's verse 23 of Acts 2. The next is, God raised him up. Now, if you go at the beginning of this sermon, what Peter is doing is helping to understand that all this was in the foreknowledge and the plan of God, so that God knew that when he would become incarnate, come to earth, that human beings would so hate him because of his message, they would crucify him. And therefore, it's almost, one could say, a comfort to realize that the crucifixion is not something that the believer will ever pay for eternally in a hell, because through faith in Jesus, that what he did in the crucifixion, as he himself said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And with this more accurate presentation of why Jesus had to be crucified, the people realize that willingly they played a part in putting an innocent man to death, but God still kept his promise that all things will work together to those who love God. And therefore, that's where the gospel comes in, that God is merciful to us in not giving us what we deserve, and he's gracious to us in giving us what we do not deserve, which is the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker on that gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to the apostles. It comes in a way that is, well, not entirely unique in Scripture, but seems to be largely unique in church history. There are all sorts of manifestations. How should we understand it as Peter explains it?
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Peter preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. This is what it says here near the end of the Growing in Christ lesson from this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Baptism connects us to Christ's everlasting life. Paul wonderfully illustrates how in baptism we share in Jesus' death and resurrection. As Jesus died and descended into the tomb, so we die as we descend into the waters of baptism. As Jesus rose from death to life, we rise from the waters of baptism in new life. As Christ lives eternally, so shall we. A beautiful, simple explanation of how baptism connects us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, found in this Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can look at free samples. Concordia Publishing House would be happy to send them to you. Just give them a call any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, of course, this sermon is being preached in the context of the gift of the Holy Spirit there at Pentecost. It comes with many manifestations, the speaking in tongues, the sound of the mighty rushing wind. How are we to understand that event as Peter explains it?
The question prior to baptism on the part of the people, brothers, what shall we do? They recognize they have killed the Messiah. Peter says, repent. Now, what does repent mean? It doesn't mean that we make a decision and give our heart over to Jesus, and therefore it is our responsibility to do something to be saved. The very next wording is how repentance occurs, and be baptized. Now, that is a passive form of the verb. It's not something, baptism is not an action we do in order to save ourselves. It's an action that God does to us. And when we are baptized, this is how God does it. It's a means of grace. Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins. He has the robe of righteousness we need. How does that come over to us? God has decided that for sure, even though it can come over just through faith, people hear the word of God and they're saved, it's definitely has a promise where it comes to us by the means of baptism. For when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 40, with many other words, he bore witness. I would say he more accurately explained how God operates in the world towards them and continued to exhort them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So verse 41 is really important. It doesn't say, so those who accepted the word, who made a decision, no. Those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, through the power of the Holy Spirit, believed the word and the promises connected to baptism and became a part of the family of God.
Can you go into a little more detail on that summary of the rest of his sermon where he says, save yourselves from this crooked generation? What is Peter saying there?
What Peter is saying is they're in a generation much like we are here today in the United States, is that people are no longer listening to the true word of God. They're talking about what they think the word of God should be saying. For example, remember the Pharisees? Thank God I'm not like that tax collector because I, what do they say? Because I believe in the Messiah? Because Jesus is the Christ? No, because I fast, I tithe. That's a crooked generation that thinks that by your works, in fact, these were even ceremonial works, that therefore they were saved. We are encouraging people, even here in the United States, save yourself from this crooked generation. And the way that that occurs is by us sharing the word of God with them, like Issues, etc. does, so that many who hear this word of God, who have never heard of it before, might come to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, therefore, they have saved themselves, even though the whole action is by Jesus. Remember the lost sheep? Could we say the lost sheep saved himself? Yes, because I'm sure he was crying out when he was lost. How do you think the shepherd finds lost sheep? That when they're stuck in a hole or a ditch, they're crying for help. And I'm sure when he saw the shepherd come, he rejoiced, especially when the shepherd put him on his shoulders and carried him home. That's the way of salvation. So the way we save ourselves is by looking to God and saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I don't deserve salvation. And I put myself totally in the hands of Jesus, rejoicing in the gospel message that is then said to me more accurately, as did Priscilla and Aquila, and as did Jesus on the road to Emmaus.
Finally then, Tom, 3,000 souls are added. Then, if we read on into the next chapters, we're up to 5,000. Maybe there's a question as to whether you can add those together or whether that's counting the 3,000. But this is rapid, exponential growth here at the beginning of the church, or the beginning of the New Testament church. How do you explain that?
I explain it in a number of ways. One way is that many of these people who were hearing this message had been taught Old Testament Bible verses. They knew about the promise to Adam and Eve. They knew about the promise to Abraham, to David. And you just go through the Old Testament. They had not fully recognized, except for a small few of them, that Jesus was the fulfillment of those promises. So remember, these were people who had come to Jerusalem during the festival of Pentecost. So they were already there Saturday night, if not Friday night, because they weren't allowed to travel very far on the Sabbath. And so they already had some understanding of what Pentecost meant. And by talking about Pentecost in the fulfillment of Jesus, he's the one who is the first fruits of the harvest. And we are going to follow because of how he did it for us, how he became the first fruit, and we become his children through baptism. And that's one way to understand how it happened so quickly. But you can go to places like Africa right now, South America. These are areas where Christianity is growing rapidly because people are understanding that is a message that meets their needs like nothing else does.
With only a minute here, Tom, is the Pentecost event here that from which this sermon is drawn, is it unique in church history, or does it continue to happen even in the church today?
It continues to happen every Sunday. Even when you don't have a baptism of infants or adults, you are hearing the wonderful word from the pastor where you confess your sins and he forgives. And if you listen carefully, he's not doing this on his own power. By the authority given to me, I forgive you. This is the voice of Jesus. And so, as I said in a sermon last week, you don't come to church to get information. You come instead to be formed. There is a formation going on where when you leave that church service or that Bible study, you should be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where your heart jumped for joy in hearing more accurately the ways of God toward you.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Are you in the market for an auto or home loan this summer? You can check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. When you open a loan with Lutheran FCU in June, a percentage will be given to LCMS National Housing Corporation. That's their ministry of the month. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. When we come back, Dr. David Adams will be our guest. We're going to talk with him about the discovery of a possible depiction, a tiny carved head, I believe, of Old Testament King Ahab. Archaeologists are speculating it's either Ahab or it's his father-in-law, the father of Jezebel. We'll find out how it adds up right after this.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, The Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.com. Edu.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.